on the gifts of the Spirit. Today I want to talk about two men who changed Israel. Fortunately, they changed it for the bad. And to look at that, I want to look at, because of their sin, there were serious consequences to the nations of Israel, and I wanted to think about why they sinned and what are the consequences of sin. And the two men are Solomon and Jeroboam. And the first man I want to talk about is Solomon. Now, Solomon was the son of David. He became king of Israel, all of Israel. David, we know, established the kingdom. He conquered virtually all his enemies. He broadened the borders of Israel. He pleased God in almost all that he did. And he wanted Solomon to be the king. And when he named Solomon, his son, the king, there was some challenge by another son, but ultimately Solomon became king. And as Bradley read in 1 Kings 3, it tells us about Solomon worship one time when he went to worship God. And in 1 Kings 3, it says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes as his father, except that he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. And verse 4, now the king went to Gibeah to sacrifice, for that was a great high place. And Solomon burned offerings, 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar there to God. And the Lord came to him in a vision. And in verse 6, in verse 5 said, ask, what shall I give you? So he was going to give him a wish, basically. What do you want? And Solomon said in verse 7, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child, and I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? So he asked for a discerning heart so that he could judge the people properly. And Bradley read it. God's response, that it pleased him, that he asked for wisdom and asked for this thing and didn't ask for riches or power or glory. And so God said, I will give that to you. And verse 12, see, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be any like who rise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, riches and honor, so that you shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So he gave him wisdom and made him the wisest man that ever lived. And we know that Solomon was that. It was the richest king that ever lived in Israel, and probably was the richest king of his time. And he told him, if you walk in my statutes, I will lengthen your days. Unfortunately, he didn't. He did great things. He built the temple of God. He expanded the borders of Israel. He made great wealth and fame for Israel. But he also sinned. In chapter 11 of 1 Kings, we read about Solomon's sin. Starting at verse 1, it says, but Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Sidonians and the Hittites, from the nations whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn you away your heart after their gods. So Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. It says Solomon loved foreign women. And he knew he wasn't supposed to marry them. The law said, it's quoted here, that God said, you shall not intermarry with them. In Deuteronomy 7, it says that. You shall not intermarry with them. And it tells you why. Because their heart will turn you away from God. But he loved them. It says at the end of verse 2 that Solomon clung to these in love. And so he did, and he loved them, and he loved them, and that was his great desire. And because of his desire and his love for them, he clung to them, and it says they turned away his heart from God. Because of his... And think about it, he knew better. He is clearly the wisest man that ever lived, who could discern good and evil. He knew what the law said, and he knew what he was supposed to do, but he didn't want them. He had his desires and his passion, and he clung to them in love. And I'm not exactly sure how you cling to 1,000 women, but he clung to them in love. And so, in verse 4, for it was so when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, and his heart was as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not fully follow the Lord as his father David did. And Solomon built a high altar place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So he went out and worshiped idols. And he didn't just worship them. He went out and built altars and worship places for them, all around Jerusalem. And so the irony is that the city of the one true and the living God, that was to be the one place to worship him, where his holy temple was, became the most pantheistic, idolatrous city around. Because all these little countries had their god. It says the god of Ammon and the god of Moab, so they would have an idol and a temple and an idol to their god. Well, Solomon built a temple and an idol to all these gods, or at least an altar and a worshiping place for all these gods all around the city of Jerusalem. So they had temples to all the idols in Jerusalem and the temple of God. They had all of it. And because of his sin, it led him to do this, and this had catastrophic effects on the country of Israel. Because that led, he worshiped those idols, and then the people worshiped those idols. It drew away not just him, but the people. And as a consequence of that, God tore the kingdom away from him. In verse 11 of 1 Kings 11, verse 9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord of Israel, who appeared to him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this thing, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hands of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So the kingdom was torn apart because of Solomon's sin. So not only were there idolatrous temples in Jerusalem, but now the country was to be torn apart into two different countries because of his sin. And so... And that remained, those temples he built, those idolatrous temples, they remained there pretty much continuously for most of the time from when he died, which was about 930 BC, until 586 BC when Nebuchadnezzar leveled the city. So for basically 400 years, 350 to 400 years, those temples were there. Now Hezekiah was a righteous king and he tore them down. And his son Manasseh built them back. And Josiah was a righteous king. And when Josiah became king, things had gotten so bad that they didn't even have the law of Moses. They had lost it. They had gone after these idols so much that they had lost the law. In 2 Kings 22, he became king and he ordered them to renovate the temple of God. And they went into the temple and they started digging through the trash in the back and emptying rooms. And in verse 8 it says, "And Hilkiah the high priest said to the scribe, Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." They had lost the book of the law. They had gone so far after the idols that they had lost the book of the law. And when it was read to Josiah, he tore his clothes and he repented and he tore down all the idols. And they had brought idols not just in those outside the city, but Manasseh had put idols inside the temple. So there were idols to other gods in the temple of God. And Josiah tore all those out and tore everything down and reformed everything. And when he died, his children just put them all back. So we can see the consequences of what Solomon did lasted forever and ever for generation and generation. And he did it. His sin changed it forever. And he did it because of his desire. He wanted to follow his desire instead of following God. And our sin can come from our desires. When we have lust and desires for what we want, and we know it's wrong, and we know it's contrary to God's will, we have a choice. And we need to choose to follow God and to control ourselves. And he didn't. And it had these catastrophic effects on the children of Israel. Ultimately, to the leveling of the city by Nebuchadnezzar and be taken away. He tore the kingdom. The kingdom was torn apart. The people never really fully repented from their idolatry, and they were ultimately destroyed. Jeroboam was the other man. Now, he was the one that God gave the kingdom to, that he was going to take it away from Solomon's son. He's the one he's going to give it to. And Jeroboam was a soldier, and he was a mighty man of valor who worked for the king but rebelled. But the prophet came to Jeroboam, if you go back into 1 Kings 11, in verse 35, the prophet Ahijah came to Jeroboam and told Jeroboam, "I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and give it to you, 10 tribes. And to his son I will give 1 tribe, and that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself, to put my name here. So I will take you, and you shall reign over all your heart's desire, and you shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, and walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build your house, an enduring house, as I have built David, and will give it to Israel, to you." So he made a promise to Jeroboam, "I'm going to give you the tribes, I'm going to give you the kingdom, and I will make you great. And if you walk in my ways, you will have a great kingdom." And he did. Solomon died, Rehoboam became king, and 10 tribes rebelled, and they went off and followed Jeroboam, and Rehoboam was getting ready to go and fight him, and the prophet came to Rehoboam and told him not to. In 1 Kings 12, 21 to 24, he told him not to, don't go after him, and Rehoboam didn't. So Jeroboam didn't have to fight anybody. He didn't have to do anything. The people rebelled and they walked off and they said, "Jeroboam, you're king." And he became king without having to do anything. So God had totally fulfilled his promise to him. that he would become king, and that he would be there, and all he had to do was do what God said. If he followed God's statutes, he'd be king forever. But Jeroboam got scared or worried, depends on how you look at it. And he was worried because the temple was in Jerusalem. And he was worried about what happens when the people go to worship in Jerusalem. Because that was still with Rehoboam. Remember, he said he'd leave one tribe for city for David and for my city, Jerusalem. That'll stay with David, but you'll get everything else. And so in 1 Kings 12, in verse 26, it said, Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up and offer sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will turn back to the Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and take back and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. God had given him the kingdom. He didn't do anything for it. And what he said, if I let him go worship in Jerusalem, they'll turn back to Rehoboam and they'll kill me. And because of that concern, he came up with an idea. Therefore, the king asked advice. He made two calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much to go to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And he set one of them up in Bethel, which is at the south end of the ten tribes. And he set one of them up in Dan, which is the north end. And he said, here's your kingdom. Here are your gods. Go worship there. And he made shrines in high places, and he made up his own priests from every class of people who were not the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, a feast like it was in Judah, and he offered sacrifice. So he did it in Bethel, and at Bethel he installed priests in high places, which he made. So he made up his own religion. He didn't want to go to Jerusalem, because that was where they were supposed to worship, so he made up his own religion. And the people then, after that, followed those two idols. There were two idols there, and he was punished for this, personally, because of this sin, and he was killed, and his family was killed. But the consequences of that sin continued. Because from then on, every king of the northern kingdom worshiped those idols. There's not a single king who turned back to God. Ahab brought in Baal and made it the official worship, but those idols also remain. Not that that's any better, but they worshiped those idols from then on, and after 200 years, they were wiped out. In 722 BC, the Assyrian Empire came in and leveled Samaria and wiped out that kingdom, and it was gone. And it was gone because of the sin. It started with the sin of Jeroboam and his fear. And his sin came from his worrying, from his failure to trust God. God had gave him the kingdom. He had gave him his position without having to do anything, but he didn't trust God. He thought, if I let him go back there, they're gonna punish me. Now God ordained that all worship should be in Jerusalem. In Deuteronomy 12, he told them, there will be one place that you will worship me. You will not worship me in every high place and under every green tree. But I will select one place, and he selected Jerusalem. And he told David where to build the temple, and Solomon built the temple there, and he accepted it, and that was the one place to worship him. And they knew that, and he knew that, but he was afraid. He said, they'll kill me. And so because he didn't trust God, and because of his worry or fear, he sinned. Failure to trust in God and the failure to have trust in him can lead us to sin. We worry or we fear and we sin. We can lie like David. We can become afraid and we lie, just as David lied to cover up his sin when he killed Uriah the Hittite, when he sinned with Bathsheba and he tried to lie and cover it up. Sometimes we'll tell a lie to try to get out of something because we're afraid when we know we shouldn't. Or we can not trust that God will take care of us, and we can trust in our wealth. And we can worry that we have to take care of our families, so we have to work and we have to put work ahead of God because we don't trust that the Lord will take care of us. There are all sorts of different ways where we can fail to trust in God, and because of that trust, we sin because we don't put God first. And these two men are very good examples of reasons why we sin, but also that the fact that sin has consequences. When we sin, it doesn't just affect us. It affects the people around us. It affects our families. It affects each other in church. And we have to recognize that our sin does have consequences. I work in the courthouse, and I used to go to sentencing hearings. And I used to see people sentenced for crimes. And they'd go to jail it was federal court, they like to give people a lot of jail. So they'd go to jail for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And you'd see in the back of the room was the family watching, and the kids watching, and knowing that they weren't going to see their parents, their mother or father for years. Now that's an extreme example of a consequence, but there are consequences to our sins. You know, we have somebody that we have a problem with at church, and we don't forgive them, or we don't resolve it. And that problem festers, and people don't talk to each other. It causes division. We have people who sin, who cheat on you cheat on your wife or your husband, that has consequences to the family. We need to recognize that sin has consequences. And it doesn't just affect us, it affects other people. And we need to appreciate just how bad it is and learn to hate sin. Most of all, sin will lead us to condemnation and hell. So I just want to help us to recognize those things and to convince ourselves the importance of why it's important to follow God and why it's important to commit to Him every day. And these two examples show us what can happen from the consequences of sin. And that's the hope that we can rededicate our lives to trusting in God and following Him. And I want to give you that message today, and we want to encourage everyone here to commit their lives more to God. And if there are any who are not Christians who want to become Christians, we give you an opportunity now. You can come forward and confess your faith in Christ and be buried with Him in baptism and commit your lives to Him. We also have the opportunity now to, if anyone who would like prayers for the congregation, we invite you to come forward now as we sing the song that's been announced.